Hallelujah.
Glory.
And Jesus saith, unto him, if thou canst believe, everyone say believe.
Believe.
Everyone say believe.
Believe.
If thou canst believe, all things are possible.
Hallelujah.
To him that believeth. I want you to believe in and for miracles tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Clipper, how much money is it going to take to put a roof on this building? $10,000. Let's claim $10,000 tonight. Amen.
Glory.
Is anybody in this building that's got a son or a daughter that's away from God, and they're not perhaps even in this building tonight, and they seem so far from God that it would take a miracle to bring them to the safety of the sheepfold? Raise your hand. Let's believe God for that son and daughter tonight. Let's claim them tonight. Hallelujah. Have you got a companion that gives you a hard way to go because you live for God? Do you have a circumstance in your home or on your job or in your school or in your business establishment that makes it difficult for you to be where you want to be and what you want to be for Jesus? Let's take authority over it tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Hallelujah.
And straightway, the father of the child. And that's one thing for me to believe the Lord for myself when I get sick. I can go to God, and if I suffer, I can suffer it out. And I can believe God. But what about when a baby, an infant's racked with fever, and you become frantic, and you think, oh God, am I going to lose this little ball of flesh that you gave me? It's one thing to trust God for yourself, and it's something else to trust God for a baby, for a child.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But
this passage is about a man who was dealing with his beloved child. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. But there's a catch. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Everyone say unbelief.
Unbelief.
Everyone say unbelief.
Unbelief.
God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are believing God tonight for the supernatural. Anytime defeat is changed into victory, it's a miracle. Anytime the darkness is turned into the light, it's a miracle. Jesus is the changer. Someone asked me the other day, Preacher, do you really believe that God can turn the water into wine? And I said, certainly. Certainly I believe Jesus can turn the water into wine. I believe He can do it. Because every week He changes alcohol into groceries.
Yes, sir.
Every week there are men, women, parents who in years gone by would have spent their last dollar of their paycheck before the rent was paid, before the groceries were bought, before clothing was put on the back of their children to send them to school, before the heat bill was paid or the light bill was paid. They would have squandered the last dime on one more drink, one more pleasure, one more evening of enjoyment. And Jesus has changed their lives through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe Jesus can change the water into wine because He changes our lives. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Now, I may sound a bit revolutionary tonight, but I think you believe. I think you're a revolutionary church. I think you have a revolutionary pastor. I don't believe I'm preaching to a people that are a people of norms, that are satisfied with the mediocre, that are trying their best just to slip by on the easiest way out and just barely make it under the wire. And if they can make it in by the skin of their teeth, they'll be satisfied. Oh, no, I don't believe that's the kind of people you are. So this may sound revolutionary, but this is your kind of language. This is your kind of preaching. And this is what God loves and wants for His church in the end time. The only thing that will stop a miracle is your unbelief. You say, but my husband doesn't want to get saved. He doesn't have any choice if you start praying for him and believing. Hallelujah.
Come on.
You say, but my son or my daughter may be popping pills or on a high right now. Let me tell you something. They don't have any choice if you pray for them. Well, we've gotten so high since the Holy Ghost came in, we've never got down. Hallelujah. Then what am I going to preach about tonight? I'm going to preach to you of a truth and of a fact that God's people have become stranded between faith and doubt.
Come on. Come on. I believe that.
Here came Jesus down off of the mountain. He'd been up there with the three that constituted the inner sanctum of His disciples. His special believers, His special followers, Peter, James, and John. And my, they got so excited when they saw Moses and Elias. And I wish I had time to preach about that tonight, but I don't. Because you see, Moses and Elijah, there was a special reason that they were the two transfigured with Christ. You see, Moses represented the law. He was the testator of the law. He was the one who brought the tables of stone down over the mountain to the people and put them under the yoke of the law. He symbolized the law. He was typology of the law itself. And Elijah typified the prophets. He was a prophet in every sense of the word. He dwelt alone. He knew the barrenness and the bleakness of the deserts. And he knew what it was to stand in the face of opposition and in the oppression of 850 apostate preachers and say, God is still Lord. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. But it was Christ that brought grace. It was Jesus that brought us into a new age of faith, of acceptance of the Word of God, and of enacting of the power of the miraculous might of God Almighty. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus tonight?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, I wish I had time to preach about the fact that zeal overtook the knowledge of Simon Peter. And he said, Lord, this feels like a good place to be. Why don't we just build us a house and stay up here? He said, in fact, better yet, why don't we build us a church? And every time we worship, let's come up here. In fact, while we're at it, let's build 3 churches. One for the Father. Oh, no, that's a different story. One for Moses, one for Elias, and one for Jesus. And then when he looked again, he saw nothing save Jesus. Aren't you glad you saw the revelation of the oneness of God in Christ for the purpose of reconciling the world unto himself, not unto another. For when you have Jesus, you have both the Father and the Son. When a man comes unto Christ, he comes because the Holy Ghost draws him. Yet the Word said, no man cometh unto me, Jesus doing the speaking, except my Father draw him. And it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. Why? Because the Father, God, and the Holy Ghost, God, is the self-same God, indivisible, without separation. Their motivation and their working was just for a separate hour, for a separate time. But aren't you glad that Jehovah God of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New Testament, the Holy Ghost of the church age, has come into your heart crying, Abba Father! Abba Father! Abba Father! Worship the Lord with me right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I wish I had time to preach about Abba Father, but I don't have time. For you see, under their law and with their customs of the days of Christ, the servants who were in the house of the householder could not use the term Abba. They could not use the term Abba. That was the highest term that could be used for the householder. It was a term that was a term that recognized that the individual who spoke it was in subjection to that house. You say, well, what about the servants? Were they not in subjection? Oh, yes, but it was more than that. It showed a direct progenity unto the one that you were saying Abba Father to. It showed that you were not a householder. You were not a cupbearer. You were not a maidservant. You were not a manservant. You were not just one of the concubines, or you were not just one of the secondary factors of the home, but you were a daughter, or you were a son. John said in chapter 3 of his first epistle in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's why the Word says that when the Holy Ghost comes in, it voices itself by crying, Abba, Father! Abba! We can call that name. We can call Christ Abba by the Holy Ghost, for we are his sons. Aren't you glad that you're a son of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's the problem? Here we have a great church that knows signs, that have seen wonders, that have had miracles wrought by the score. Well, there have been more miracles wrought in the history of this one congregation, I'm sure, than all that are recorded in both testaments of the Bible. The Old and the New Testament do not begin to record as many wonders and miracles and signs as you have seen over the years as one congregation of people. And then someone says, why isn't there miracles in our church? Why isn't there wonders in our church? Why aren't there signs in our church? Oh, don't nobody get afraid. I'm not seeking signs. For a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. But I want you to know something. When you get turned on to Jesus Christ, then you don't have to go around seeking signs. They follow automatically. For these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer tonight? Hallelujah. It's the ploy of the enemy to catch us in a condition between faith and doubt. Here is a man who came to Jesus immediately after their trip to the Mount of Transfiguration. and cried out of the multitude. And I do believe that there was a reason the multitudes followed Christ. It just didn't happen because of a good P&R man. It didn't just happen because advertising had been sent out. There was something different about him. There was something about him. The look in his eye, the sound of his voice, and the healing powers of his hand as he stretched out over the sick, old and young. It was the breaking of the loaves. It was the spreading of the fishes among the multitude. But it was more. It was because he was the only begotten, undefiled, and pure Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world. There was something about him. And we are his emissary in the world to build churches. We are his ambassadors in the earth to get his job done. And we can do it if we believe we can do it. Now, it isn't going to do you any good to get turned on if you don't ever get plugged in.
All right.
Come on. Come on in now, preacher.
Come on.
Oh, I may as well be myself. You may as well see the real me.
That's all right.
I'm sick up to here with inferior experiences that are called old-fashioned Pentecost.
Yes, come on.
Frankly, I don't believe this newfangled approach to the charisma of the Pentecostal movement is old-time Pentecost. I think it's old-time latter rain under a different banner. I think it's inferior. I think it stinks. I think it's short. But I believe there are some very honest people that want more of God. And if you are one of those, I tell you, this is the place to find what you've been searching for. Not because it's called New Life Church. Not because it associates with the United Pentecostal Church International. Not because the pastor's name's Rome. Or not because I say so. But it's because there's new life in Jesus. There's new life in His love. And you can have the new life of knowing Jesus tonight before you go home. Hallelujah. This man cried out of the crowd and said, "Master!" Everything fell with a deadly and a quiet hush. Who would be so abrupt as to stop the master while he was explaining a question to his own disciples? We've read that Elijah must come before your face. And right before he had time to elaborate on his answer, someone cried out of the crowd, "Master!" But Jesus was never too busy for the need of the common man. Hallelujah. Oh, if you have a need tonight, Jesus is not too busy to meet your need. If before you get up tomorrow, there's a need arises in the night and you're in pain, Jesus is not too busy to hear your cry. Hallelujah. Jesus turned and a man made his way. The crowd just began to separate. And when he got to Jesus, he fell on his knees at his feet and he said, "Master, I have a child that's grievously vexed of the devil. Many times it's caught it and it's torn it and it's contorted it. And even there have been times that it's thrown it in the fire and in the water to try and destroy it, drown it, annihilate it. And Master, I have reached my wit's end. I can go no further. We've sought the care of others. We've tried to be providential in our concern for the child. But we have reached the point that we need help from someone greater than we. Oh, Master, would you please come and help me? Would you please come and do something for me?" And Jesus said unto him, he said, "How long ago has it been since this came upon your child?" And he said, "Ever since he's been a babe. We noticed it first when he was just a gooing, bundling little ball of happiness that we bounced upon our knees. We remember the first time that his eyes rolled back in his head and his tongue grew fat in his mouth and limp and his jaws contorted and he began to stretch with that seizure that came over his body. And there's nothing we can do. We can't leave him by himself. He can't pray alone. We can't go out of the house. We can't leave him. What are we going to do?" And Jesus said unto him, "All things are possible to him that believeth. I want you to notice in this verse, we have taken such thought and such hope in the multiplicities. We've said we're two or three are gathered together. We have said, fear not, little flock, but that still was more than one. But I want you to notice that in this passage, he identified the individual. He said, to him that believeth, all things are possible. I want you to know tonight, if you are an individual, thank you, Brother Sexton, if you are an individual and you believe, anything is possible. New horizons can break at your feet. There can be an explosion of experiences in your life if you will believe. Hallelujah. Don't my wife have to believe with me? No, your wife don't have to believe with you. What about if my children doubt it? Your children can doubt all they want to. The power of one believing man can move heaven. The power of one believing woman can shake the glory world. If thou wouldest believe, all things are possible. He said, oh God, I believe. Hebrews said that before a man can come unto God, he must believe first that he is, and then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you know what it's saying in everyday two-bit English? It's saying that before you can be saved, you've got to recognize the existence of God. But some men have stopped there because people recognize the existence of God. They have said just recognizing his existence makes you a Christian. You believe, so therefore you're saved. But the Bible said after you believe, you must have a rooted faith that he can do what his word said he can do. His word said he could save the uttermost sinner. His word said he could heal. His word said he could deliver. His word said he could set the captive free. His word said he could cast out devils. His word said that he was the perpetrator of revival. And I believe God will heal you. I believe God will fill you. I believe God will deliver you. I believe God will set you free. And I believe that God will bring revival to your soul tonight if you seek it. Hallelujah. So we have a strangely commingled cry. An adulteration of faith. And pardon the incorrect English. Unfaith. An undoing of that is wrought. An unraveling of that has been pieced together and put together. I believe, Lord, but help mine unbelief. I want to preach to every one of you across this congregation tonight as though it was only one-on-one, just you and me. One-on-one. Is that all right? Can I do that?
Right.
I want to preach to every one of you, and every word that I say, I want you to take it as though it was just you and me. One-on-one. Do you know the problem? Do you know your problem? Do you know our problem? Do you know my problem? Satan has tried to strand us between faith and unfaith. He's had us believing for some things, but doubting other things. Oh, if his word said it, I believe it. I don't like the bumper sticker that said, his word said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Oh no, that's not what settles it. Not because his word said it, and I believe it. That's not what it settles it. His word said it, that settles it, so I believe it. Hallelujah. His word said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Do you believe tonight that God can do all things? Hallelujah. There seems to be a state of controversy, a strange state of conflict and commingled cry between faith and doubt. And I want to speak to someone tonight whose heart is struggling, trying to come to grip, trying to find an answer for themselves. It takes more, and they are aware that it takes more than just basking in the sunlight of a church experience. You see, every Sunday night, this church is a unit. This church as a body can struggle with the wagon to get it up the hill and pray the blessings down and worship the Spirit down, and then someone without paying any price can jump on the bandwagon and ride it to the bottom of the hill. But it takes more than basking in the victory of church worship. It takes more than basking in the sunlight of someone else's accomplishment. We can ill afford the luxury of riding the wagon that someone else has pushed to the top of the hill. I'm talking to people that are struggling because they don't want to live on mama's experience. They don't want to live in daddy's experience. They're not just accepting the faith of grandma or grandpa of the church. For if we do that, and if we advocate and advise that, then we are no better than the Methodists. Because grandpa was a Methodist, son's a Methodist. And because son's a Methodist, grandson's a Methodist. And it progenerates generation after generation in that fashion until it becomes a dead catacomb of nothing but dead men's bones and all uncleanness. We are living in the day of the third and fourth generation Pentecostal, and we cannot afford to bask and luxuriate ourselves in the sunlight of father's experience and grandfather's experience. Old time Pentecost needs to change your procedure. You have got to come to grips with what is real for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to preach something right now that my flesh is battling against me not to preach, and I'm going to preach it because I believe it's the will of God. I believe it's the will of God. You see, everywhere across this country, there's a struggle going on.
Yes, sir, brother.
There are churches that want to stand in the old-fashioned straight and narrow. And there are churches that want to let down the bars and open up the gangplank and say, let a man do the best he can and he's all right because we're not his judge. That's right. I'm not your judge. I'm not here to judge you, and I'm not here to trample underfoot the opening and the opportunity to share your fellowship. But while I'm here, may I register as one man as saying, I believe if it was sin 20 years ago, it's sin today. If it was sin 10 years ago, it's sin today. People change. Times change. Cities change. Congregations change. But the Word said, I am the Lord God, and I change not. I am the Lord God, and I change not. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Come on, love the Lord. Worship Him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's all right, man.
It's all right.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to preach anything in this church that would desecrate the warm feeling of fellowship and the kindred spirit of this church. I'd rather hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I just cannot get with this idea that women with shorn hair, earrings, and makeup are fit for our choirs, are fit to be on our platforms. I just cannot get with this idea that men who would dress like the world, who act like the world, who conduct themselves on their jobs like the world, who are every bit a part of the worldly society that they inhabit, I cannot believe that at 6:30 on Sunday night, they can put on a Holy Ghost suit. They can make up a Holy Ghost outward appearance. And they can be a brother. They can be a saint. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. God of Sunday is God of Monday. God of Monday is God of Friday. He's the Lord God. And He changes not. He is the same on the job. He is the same at school. He's the same in your daily life. And I feel Him right now, don't you? Hallelujah.
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 Praise
God.
Praise
God. I used to hear older ministers. And I say that with deepest respect. You know that.
Yes, sir. I hear.
I used to hear older ministers preach about the younger ministers wearing hairspray on their hair. And I heard one preacher one time in a congregation larger than this say that any man who sprayed hairspray on his hair was homosexually inclined. What brand do you use? Do you use the pink can or the blue can? Now the part that so shook me is it was new. There weren't that many people doing it then. And I looked around over the congregation, and I was the only one that had hairspray on their hair. I leaned over to my wife, and that was before Sister Priscilla and I came to be. And I said to her, I said, "Well, does it hurt your feelings to find it out for the first time in front of 1,000 people?" I didn't believe that then, and I don't believe it now. If you want to know the truth, it about aggravated me. Oh yes, you cut me and I bleed. I'm human just like you are. It aggravated me. The part that aggravated me is the man that was preaching it didn't have over about 6 hairs on his entire head. And then I heard preachers preach against colored shirts, colored dress shirts among the laity as well as the ministry. And then it moderated to just among the ministry. And I was a young man, and that was fashion. And all that went against my grain, because I had a whole rainbow assortment of colors. Time out. Did you ever notice the things that preachers preach that go against your grain are the things that you privately are wanting to do?
Come on. All right, I'm listening to you.
All right, baby. I know what that means, too. You won't have to straighten it out when I get done. I'm not going to lose it. And I have heard all sorts of things preached.
You're doing all right.
Well, I've heard people preach against all sorts of things. So therefore, I've heard people use this very line of discussion for justification to let down the bars. I remember when they preached against the radio. I don't remember, but this is what they say. Well, if that was the case, my grandpa loved the wrestling so much, you could put 2 pair of long underwear in a clothes dryer and he'd watch it for 30 minutes. Don't nobody leave on me now. If you do, I'm running. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. If there's anybody here tonight with their smile turned upside down, God don't care for us enjoying this message like we're enjoying it tonight.
Right.
He don't care for us laughing. He doesn't care for us smiling. He's not mad at us. God is not a sober, pious, hard to be moved and entreated God. He's a God that's easily entreated by the feeling of the infirmities of His people. Oh, I love Him with all my heart, don't you? I love Him with all my heart. Oh, yes, I've heard them use the line of argument that, well, they used to preach against the radio, and they used to preach against clothes dryers, and they used to preach against washing machines, and they used to preach against white sidewall cars, and they used to preach against red, and blah, 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 right down the line. And do you know what? I believe that was that man's prerogative. And if I went to a church that said, don't wear red, I wouldn't wear red. At the time that I heard those men preach against hairspray, it offended me. But today, I realize the spirit behind why they preached it like that.
Yes, sir, brother.
Yes. Now, you're a lamb, you're sheep. And there are times that the pastor or the minister, or maybe tonight the visiting minister, preaches things that is galling to you. It goes against the grain. And it's abrasive to your spirit. And you think, oh my, I've never heard that before and I don't believe I can swallow that. But it may take you time, days, weeks, months, or years to understand the spirit of why your pastor was preaching that to you. Why he was standing in the gap and protecting you from certain things. Why he was saying it just like that. I believe this man is a man of God that fears that a people will be caught and stranded between faith and doubt, and thus make negative the power of God that wants to work in your midst and in your church. Hallelujah. So where do we start? We've got to start by building faith itself. And there's more to building faith than just saying, if you'll believe right now, and put your hand on somebody's shoulder in front of you, how God can hit you, you'll have enough. There's been some times that I've believed and put my hand on someone's shoulder, and the power of God has hit me. And I have felt better. And I have done better. But there have been some more times that I put my hand on somebody's shoulder and I've never felt anything but perspiration. That sweat in Missouri.
Yes, sir,
brother. We've got to begin by building faith on a foundation of faith itself. And the only place we can start, New Life Church, is by having faith in ourselves. Not faith in our self-sufficiency.
No, sir.
Not faith that we can do it without God.
No.
But faith that through Christ we can do all things.
Oh, okay.
Through Christ it's possible to get $10,000 at an auction for a roof. Through Christ it's possible to march for missions and get $10,000. Through Christ it's possible to believe that your husband will come to Christ, and he will. I had an account of a woman who said that she had prayed for more than 45 years for her brother to give his heart to God. And she confessed and admitted that she had reached the point that she just simply didn't believe for him anymore. And then she heard a preacher preach that we needed to start believing again. And she said in herself, I'm going to build faith again that my brother is going to give his heart to God. And when she started believing again on the premise of faith itself, in less than 2 weeks, her brother, who was past 70 years old, was baptized in water and baptized with the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking with other tongues. You say, I've believed, I've trusted, I've tried. Start believing again. Get faith again. Don't give up faith, for in believing they're seeing. They're seeing. Hallelujah. You know, all that stands in the way of your moral life is just the lack of confidence in yourself. You could be a good moral individual if you believed you could be a good moral individual. Do you know all that stands in the way of the breaking of that habit? The severing of the chains that enslave you tonight It's just believing that those chains can be broken. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Say it with me. Jesus breaks every fetter. And He sets men free. It's just a matter of believing. It's just a matter of coming to grip with faith itself and saying, I believe. In a personal experience, it's just faith itself that stands between you really having what you want to have and just having the shell of an experience. It's just a matter of you casting aside the garments of unbelief and doubt, stepping out from where you've sat in the shambles of a faithless life and saying, I will believe God for a reverberating, new, and tranquilly spiritual experience in my life. It can be spiritual. It can be explosive. And at the same time, it can be tranquil. It's just a matter of believing. Believing. Having faith in yourself. Moses had faith in God. Didn't he? Moses had faith in God. Well, he had enough faith in God that when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Right.
He had faith in God.
Yes.
He had enough faith in God, Brother Romans, that when he saw those men striving together, he rose up and killed the Egyptian because he believed in some things of Israel.
Yes, sir.
He believed in God. But he didn't believe in Moses.
That's right.
He had no confidence in Moses. Now I know you have said, I'm just not a shouter.
Uh-huh.
How many times have we heard that?
Oh.
I'm just not a shouter. I'm just not emotional. That's not the way I am. You know what your real problem is? You know why you've really never shouted? You know why you've really never felt an emotional release in the Holy Ghost? Lack of confidence in that experience for you. For God is a spirit. Do you ever notice that's a capital S? That's divine spirit. That's the Spirit of God. And He seeketh such to worship Him that will worship Him in spirit. But that's a small S. That's not talking about divine spirit. That's talking about human desire. Human spirit. Human consecration. He wants us to bring our lives to Him and consecrate them at His feet. He wants us to worship Him because we want to worship Him.
That's right.
Now, I'm not telling you to go bat crazy and everybody run into the walls and turn somersaults in the aisles just because there's no specific order. There's even a pecking order among chickens.
Right.
Isn't that encouraging, Mr. Ronda? Maybe you've never shouted because you don't have confidence. Moses didn't have any confidence in Moses. When God said unto him, Moses, when he had drawn aside to see the burning bush, He said, I want to send you to Pharaoh. I want you to bring the children out of bondage, out of captivity. He said, but Lord, I'm a stutterer. Not me, God. We can find 100 scientific reasons that we're not God's man. Oh, we can find one reason, our confidence, our hope, our faith, that God, I want to live for You, I want to work for You, I want to do Your will more than anything else in the world. And if we can find that, that's all it takes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Moses didn't have any confidence in Moses. He sent Aaron along and he was a real pain in the flesh. Everywhere they went, he's a pain in the flesh. You know what Isaiah said? He said, Lord, I'd like to. Really, God, I want to. I can see the need. this is a generation that's perverse, and I'm dwelling among them, and they're very unstable, and I know that what you're saying is right, but I'm a man of unclean lips, and I can't do it. Oh, do you know what you need to do? You need to go back to the altar and let the coal of fire touch you anew. Let the Holy Ghost breathe a new experience into your life. And then you'll say, here I am, Lord, send me. When He says, who will go? Who shall I send? You'll say, it's me, Lord. Mm. Here I am, Lord. You say, but preacher, I've believed. I've tried. I've did my best and it's failed. The only man who's never failed is the one who's never tried. The one who's never tried. Sure, you may fail, but He is a God who's able to keep us from falling. He's able to bear us up. And underneath are the everlasting arms of Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus supports you and underneath are His everlasting arms? Hallelujah. Ezekiel was so in awe by God that he just fell right on his face like a dead man. You know what God said to Ezekiel? The same thing He's saying to us tonight. He said, Ezekiel, get up. Don't lay there on the ground. Get up! We got a lot of Moseses laying in the sand, kicking like spoiled brats, because they're 3 days out of Egypt's bondage, and the people are wanting to go back home. And they're laying on their rod when they need to get up and stretch it out over the waters.
Right.
Right. We got a lot of Ezekiels pounding the earth in awe. Yes, I'm in awe by His glory. Yes, I'm in awe by His majesty. And I believe with my heart that God can do more through His might and through His power and with His Spirit in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 lifetimes. But I also know that God works in His church through men and by women. And if there's ever going to be someone work for Him, go for Him, speak for Him, live for Him, give for Him, do for Him, it's going to have to be us. He needs you. He needs you. We need to start by building faith in faith itself.
Yes, sir.
And I don't believe we can build faith in faith itself without building faith in our fellow man.
All right.
I don't want to be negative. I don't want to go around with an Elijah spirit and I'm the only one left.
No, sir. I don't either.
There's 6,000 who's never kissed the enemy. There's 6,000 who's never bowed to the eye. I believe you're a man of God, Brother Rome. I believe you're a man of God. And I don't like to go around and hear people say, oh, well, you know, Brother so-and-so, the reason his church is bigger than mine, he's a compromiser. No, probably the reason his church is bigger than mine is because he wasn't as negative as I was. And he said, God can do anything. God can do anything. God can do anything. I know that people are compromising, but I want to tell you something about the compromisers. They may prosper for a while, but over the long haul, it'll come to nothing.
That's true.
You want to know the churches across this country and across the United Pentecostal Church organization that's growing, and you'll find it's the ones who have a positive voice in the pulpit, who are saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Stand steadfast. Be holy. Be upright. Be modest in appearance. Be modest in conduct. Be modest in spirit. Be a soul winner. Be a witness. Go into the highways and the hedges. And those are the churches that are the ones that are going to be blessed with revival in the end time. Not the ones who lay down the bars, lay down the bars, lay down the bars to sin. Lay down the bars and the sheep got out and how did the goat get in? Too late to whine about the goats when you let the bars down. Amen. You say, oh, but you don't understand. Our circumstance is different. I believe you can honor all men for the good that's in them. Just because a preacher somewhere ran off with someone else's wife, it don't make me believe that all preachers are women chasers. Why? There have been lawyers dishonest on the bar. But I don't believe all lawyers are dishonest. There have been judges that have passed wrong decisions knowingly. But I don't believe all judges are dishonest. There are preachers that have compromised. But I don't believe all end time preachers are compromisers.
No, sir.
There have been marriages that have wound up in divorce. But I haven't lost faith in the institution of marriage.
No, sir.
There have been song leaders who have transgressed, but we haven't stopped singing. There have been Sunday school superintendents who have been dishonest and ran to Canada with the church's money, but we haven't stopped having Sunday school. We have got to honor a man for his integrity, for his honesty, and we cannot have faith in God. We cannot have faith in ourselves until we can learn to have confidence in one another. It's just as easy to look for what's right as it is to look for what's wrong.
Yeah, come on. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We can condemn a whole system because one man ran off to Canada and was dishonest. But I want you to know something. I still believe He's the Lord God and He changes not.
He changes not.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say? If you love not your brother whom you have seen, how shall you love God whom you have not seen? We've got to have faith in faith itself. We've got to have faith in our fellow man. And finally, I want to close with this aspect of the message. We've got to renew faith and to have faith, get faith. Somewhere we've got to dig it out. We've got to work it out. We've got to pray it down. Whatever it takes, we have got to have faith in righteousness. Righteous and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? God loves righteous. Hallelujah.
Yes,
he loves that man that every day he's the same. Wherever you see him, he's got the same unfeigned love. Walked up on a man one time with a cigarette in his hand, and when he saw me, he put his hand, cigarette and all, in his pocket. You ever had that?
Yes, sir. Young preacher.
He nearly burned his britches up. My dad had a woman come to him in his church, and everybody knew in the whole community that she did snuff. Don't nobody rub the corners of your mouth. It's a dead giveaway. Said, Brother Magruder, I know the reason you've never let me be a member and sign a membership roll of this church. And they kept the membership roll in the office because they needed phone numbers, addresses, etc. Not because people joined the church. You can't join the church.
Can't join it. No way.
I know you haven't let me sign the membership roll because I have a habit. But she said, I want you to know that I've quit dipping snuff. My dad said, all right, if you really have, you've really consecrated your life, in 60 days, I'll let you sign the membership roll. It wasn't a week until he walked by her house or went past her house in the car. He was sitting next to the window, and she lived in a little tenant property right up next to the highway. Only a little sidewalk separated her house from the street. He was in a strange car, and he was not in a suit. He was in casual attire. And she shoved her screen door open and went, and hit the side of the car right beneath his arm. Later, I pastored that same woman. She would always carry her snuff right here. And one night she got happy, and she shouted like a killdee with a broken wing. One night she got to shouting, and that snuff hit the floor and started rolling. That dude got down on her hands and knees and crawled after that snuff. It took all the shouting. I'm going to tell you something. Just because there's some imposters, just because there's some hypocrites, just because there's a few Jack Mormons, that's the term we use for hypocrites out west, just because there's a few Jack Mormons, just because there's a few hypocrites, just because there's a few cigarette puffers and snuff dippers, and just because there's a few phonies does not mean we have to lose confidence in righteousness. The Lord is a righteous judge. He's coming back for a righteous people. He's coming back for those who have made themselves ready. If you don't believe tonight, you can believe if you'll put your confidence in righteousness. Would you stand tonight, everybody in this building?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Faith in righteousness will cost you something. It will cost you something. It'll cost you dedication. It'll cost you consecration. It'll cost you the sacrificial giving of your own self unto God. It will cost you something.
It will do it.
But faith in righteousness pays great dividends. There's a gilded hall, a robe, a crown, a throne, a mansion, an eternal entrance into the presence of God throughout the ceaseless ages for those who will have faith in righteousness. Whew. You say, preacher, I would like to believe that what you're telling me is true, and I really want to be saved. But I just can't believe in what I've not seen. I can't believe in what I have not experienced. I ask you, friend, did you ever see George Washington? Did you ever meet Abraham Lincoln? No. But I believe that they were presidents. I believe they... And I've heard the record of the influence that they had. And I believe. I have not seen God. I've only seen His handiwork. But therein I see not a mirage, but an impression of what He is and who He is. I don't believe because someone took a miracle picture in the clouds. I don't believe because someone saw an indelible impression out of an airplane window. I don't believe because someone who is psychic and somewhat clairvoyant says that it's so. But I believe because the fingers of God plays a melody on the strings of my soul. I believe because chords are struck in my heart that are melodious, that are harmonious. I believe because I feel. I feel. I feel. And friend, I want you to know tonight, you can go home a believer if you will put stock and confidence in what you feel in this place tonight. The saints right now are praying. They're praying for you. God wants to bring you from a long way off. All you've got to do is believe. Perhaps you've been raised in a Pentecostal family and you've drifted away from God. If you cannot find faith anew, if you cannot find confidence anew, then I have no doubt but what the prayer of the atheist is more heard than yours. For the atheist prayed, "Oh God, if there is a God, have mercy on my soul, if I have a soul." But I believe that sinner that stands in the temple and beats on his chest and says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. Zacchaeus, come down." The faith of a man who will come down off a limb of tradition and from a frightful an evil past is more to be recorded than the stranded condition and state of the saint who's hopelessly lost and adrift between faith and doubt. Why will you tarry? Would you come tonight? There are rooms of prayer. There is an altar. There are saints who will pray with you if you're a sinner. Why don't you come and dedicate your life unto God? Why don't you come and put faith in God and faith in yourself and faith in your fellow man and faith in righteousness and the righteous standards and concepts of the church? Why don't you turn your life over to Jesus? If you're a drifter, if you've drifted far away from God, come home tonight. Come home. I'm turning this service to your pastor and mine, Brother Rome. Don't get lost on the spectrum of time between faith and doubt. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and find salvation.
Hallelujah. You can have faith to believe those outstretched arms of compassion that's reaching out through space of time, that wants to bring you from the refuge, the curse, and bring you to the happiness and the peace of God. You can have faith in that tonight. I'm not adding to this message. I'm giving you an opportunity to come to God. Every one of you that have faith to believe the outstretched arms of God that's reaching to you. He said, I want to give you my love, my mercy, and my blood. I want to give you my spirit. If you can have faith to believe that, right now you can have it. While the saints are praying, Sister Priscilla sings, there is arms of compassion reaching out that's reaching to you. You don't have to believe it. You don't even have to believe it. But if you believe it, and when you believe it, you can have it. You that are without the Holy Ghost, and I'm not going to make a long appeal to you, but here's the altar while she sings it. We're going to baptize a young lady in the lovely name of Jesus. But while we're doing that, you can be praying and accepting by faith the outstretched arms of God that's reaching to you tonight. If I didn't have the Holy Ghost, and if I didn't know God and the power of the Holy Ghost, I'd surrender myself to God now in faith and say, I must have God with me. I can't make it. My sufficiency is not of myself. While she sings that, and every saint prays, every saint that has the Holy Ghost, if you're not praying, then I'll know you're not a saint. But every saint that has the Holy Ghost is praying right now. In the spirit of unity, believe in God. While these that stand in the congregation of the righteous. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's those that God's calling them, saints. Don't you raise your eyes. Don't you lift up your head. Keep your eyes closed and keep your heart tuned to God. You're praying. You're a saint. And those that need God are coming. They're coming. They're coming because you're praying. They're coming. And they are coming. And they are coming. And they are coming while you're praying. Don't you lift up your eyes. If you do, I'll know you're not a saint. Because you're not obedient. Woo. Pray, saint. Pray, saint. Somebody's son. Somebody's daughter. Caught in the clutches of the adversary of their soul, destined to be lost without God. Believe for them right now. Believe. Break the clutches that they might be set free. Believe it. They're coming. Young and older are coming. They are coming. Woo. Every saint's pray. They're coming. And they are coming. And some of you men come. Huh? Some wife has prayed. Some husband has felt.
Let your spirit move.
Come on, sis. They're still coming, saints. They're still coming. Keep praying. Keep praying. They're still coming. Some of you young girls down there. They're still coming, saints. Keep praying.
I give all myself to thee.
Some of you young girls, come and pray. They're still coming right now. Saints, they are still coming. Keep praying. Come on, son, right over here. We've got a little more room yet. Saints, keep praying. Don't look unless you make your way to the altar to pray with those. They're still coming. Come on, backslider. I'm talking to you, friend. Saints, keep praying. This altar's filling up with hungry hearts, bleeding souls that's crying out with faith tonight. We have just a little more room we have made for you. Backslider, you've almost lost your family. The only place for your friend is on God's altar. Shahab Omar Hashia.
Here I am.
We got a little more room for you, brother. Come on, sister.